1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Well, it is my pleasure to welcome back to Your Turn, 1330 AM WEBY, one of my favorite guests, Mr. Quinn Hillier. Quinn is now a senior editorial writer and columnist at the Washington Times. He continues to write and edit for American Spectator as well, but he's moved over to the Washington Times. How are the new digs, Quinn?
They're very good, thank you, Renee, and always glad to be on your show.
Where can folks find you now?
WashingtonTimes.com and still at Spectator.org as well.
All right, Spectator.org as always, and now you can find Quinn Hillier at WashingtonTimes.com. I know folks who could listen to us from Mobile will be happy to hear that one of their favorite late journalists, you were down at the Mobile Register, is that right?
Yes, for 8 years.
Yeah, for 8 years you were down there. I think you still have some family in the area and make it back once in a while.
Lots of it, exactly. Definitely.
Well, Quinn, thanks for coming on this afternoon to talk with us about SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. If people aren't talking about health care reform, they're talking about Supreme Court nominees. Let me back up and ask you, Supreme Court Justice David Souter announced his retirement last month. Was that a surprise?
It wasn't a big surprise. It had been known for years that he did not really like the city life, and that while he liked the work of the Supreme Court, he didn't really like much else about being in the middle of Washington and in the middle of the debate and open to public criticism and being in a big city. So for personal reasons, he had been known to sort of want to go back to his cabin in the woods. The problem is that if he had felt that way, it's sort of odd that he waited till now to do it rather than say go a year or two earlier when he was first clearly known to be thinking this.
Well, I mean, how much do you think that has to do with, you know, who sits in the Oval Office?
Well, I think it has everything to do with it and clearly shows that he has become a very political judge, because if he stayed on just for political reasons, then again that shows that he certainly has moved a long way away from the political party that originally appointed him, the Republican Party of the elder George Bush.
Right.
This was sort of one last way to stick it to the people that actually put him where he is, but whom he left years and years and years ago.
Yeah, because typically a Republican nominee, a Republican appointment, leaves under a Republican president, lets them, you know, he or she fill that slot. And as you mentioned, he left the party, although, I mean, a lot of folks will argue that, you know, our court should not be partisan. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. Listen, court watchers, you know, a lot of people were expecting an announcement today. Some are even saying, you know, we might just get it this week. I think with Memorial Day weekend coming up and we've got a media-hungry president, I think the chances of that happening are pretty slim, although I think it's very likely we'll see something by the end of the month. What's your crystal ball tell you, Quinn?
I think it will be this week. I think he is going to want to get the name out there and all of the arguments out there in favor of his nominee before people leave for the Memorial Day weekend, and then use the Memorial Day weekend, which is when, you know, sort of the counterattack would be coming. Nobody's going to be paying attention to the counterattack from the right, because they're going to be all out vacationing. So I think he will do it this week, and there's even speculation he might do it tomorrow, because one of the names on his short list is Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, and she just happens to be visiting the White House tomorrow.
Well, interestingly, you know, I mean, she you know, you talk to anybody in Michigan, and, you know, my whole family is there, and I think a lot of folks are pretty unhappy with the way that things turned, you know, when she took office as governor. Now, people say she was a very, very good attorney general. I don't remember that. You know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, certainly I think folks are questioning, you know, what's happened at least in the state of Michigan since she took over as governor. But it's very interesting that she is there. She will be there tomorrow at the White House. Court watchers have predicted, you know, ever since the announcement of David Souter's retirement, that female, it would be a female. They predicted a female. Should gender matter, Quinn?
No. That's the short answer. Gender should not matter. Race or ethnicity should not matter. The only thing that should matter is somebody's qualifications, integrity, and commitment to the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the United States as written. Nothing else should matter. This is not a game of filling in blanks. This is a game of getting the Constitution right.
Well, and I think that Americans would agree with you. I read in a Gallup poll that 64% of Americans say it doesn't matter to them whether the next justice is a woman. You know, and you know, some could say, well, 64%, what was it all? You know, 64% of the people who were voting were men. No, I mean, I would include myself in that. I mean, when you think about the fact that 19% of federal judges are women, isn't that about the same 1 in 9 ratio that we have right now on the Supreme Court? In fact, it's better.
It's better. Here's the thing. George W. Bush fell into the trap of thinking he had to get a woman, and so he did backflips to find a woman who would make it through every single political checklist that he had, and he ended up with somebody who was a dear lady but manifestly unqualified for the thing that actually counts, which is constitutional law. That was Harriet Myers.
Right.
And he then said, well, what the heck, you know, I've blown this. Now my only chance is just to go to the most qualified person. And he went with John Roberts, and it turned out John Roberts had huge support across the country. Huge poll number of Americans showed that they supported him, and they didn't care that he wasn't a woman. It made no difference to them whatsoever because they could see the man was manifestly qualified. Now, if Harriet Myers had been manifestly qualified, they would have supported her. It has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with qualifications.
Well, that's interesting because as popular as Chief Justice John Roberts was with the American public, he was not so popular with some folks in Congress. Interestingly enough, then Senator Obama voted against John Roberts, President Bush's nominee, as he did vote against Samuel Alito as well. How, if at all, do you think then Senator Obama's votes against President Bush's nominees will come into play when he makes his announcement as soon maybe as tomorrow?
Well, if the Republicans in the Senate were as cutthroat as the Democrats in the Senate, it would come into play a lot. It would be sort of a tit-for-tat, I'm going to get you back kind of thing. Republicans in the Senate, despite what the mainstream media wants you to believe, have never been that cutthroat. As a matter of fact, sometimes they haven't been even, you know, haven't even played hardball. They've been playing patty cake. So I don't think it's going to matter much. I think the outside conservative groups are going to try to say that Obama is not due any deference because he didn't give any deference to Bush's choice. I think that's a fair point to make. I don't think many of the senators are going to make it, though.
All right. You mentioned that Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm will be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow if she's not already there today. A likely announcement could be made tomorrow about a Supreme Court justice nominee from President Obama. She is an attorney. She served as former attorney general for the state of Michigan. She is now a governor. She is not, and I don't believe she has ever been an acting judge. Do you think a lot of folks think it needs to be a current judge, and if it's not, are we going to have another Harriet Myers situation, as you referenced earlier?
I don't think it necessarily has to be a current judge, but it shouldn't just be a career politician. I mean, the last thing the American people want is more politics on the Supreme Court. What they want is less politics on the Supreme Court. And all Jennifer Granholm is basically a career politician, and frankly, not a very good one at that. As you alluded to, she has not been a very good governor. But see, Obama doesn't care about that if she has the right empathy and if she makes a good first impression, which she does. So if he picks her, he'll be putting politics ahead of qualifications.
How much do you think, Quinn, life experience matters when a president is looking at a nominee for the Supreme Court?
Life experience matters, but you're talking about life experiences in having been poor or having, you know, grown up Latino or something like that. I would argue that makes absolutely no difference. The law is what the law is, and anytime you try to get too subjective about it by bringing in your life experiences, you're not doing the law, you're doing your own legislating from the bench, and that is just the wrong thing to do.
Right. Well, these court watchers who predict that it's a female and they say that gender should matter, you think that means the next one up is a Latino, or we're going to have our first openly gay Supreme Court justice?
I think you're very likely to have one or both before Obama's done, and you might even have one or both in the next week or so. If it's not Governor Granholm, there are several Latino or Latina possibilities out there. There is one who is thought to be fairly openly, I believe, gay. And you know, Obama is going to like filling the boxes because the left likes filling the boxes. They want to have the first gay or the first Latina or the third woman or whatever can fit their little categories. And I do think Obama wants to sort of pay obeisance to that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the names that seem to be on a short list, a list actually that's getting shorter by the moment, perhaps, as Quinn Hillier has pointed out to us. We're talking with Quinn Hillier. He's a senior editorial writer and columnist at the Washington Times. You can find him at WashingtonTimes.com. You can also find his work at the American Spectator at spectator.org. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
All right, we are back. We are talking with Quinn Hillier. He's a senior editorial writer and columnist at the Washington Times. He's got his crystal ball out, and he's predicting that as soon as tomorrow, and maybe sometime shortly thereafter, if it's not tomorrow, that President Obama will perhaps announce his nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court. In just a minute, I'm going to have Quinn run down for us what to expect once that happens. You know, how many days should we expect to pass between the naming of the nominee and then the first confirmation hearing? But before we do that, we're going to go to the phone lines. Go ahead, Sam. It's your turn.
Yes, I'd like to get your take. I'm one of these people who have participated in the Tea Parties. We believe a lot of us are ardent about 10th Amendment rights. And we see the movement now in Texas, Utah, Montana, as well as Oklahoma and some other states to reassert our 10th Amendment rights under the Constitution. And one of the things I was wanting to ask, we've also got groups like Patrick Henry Caucus that are starting up where the state legislators are banding together nationwide to try to support one another in these movements. And with what's coming up with the Supreme Court, I was wanting to get y'all's take on, do you think that Obama will, as these movements move forward, do you think that he will directly oppose them, or will he try to ignore them?
All right, and let me just remind the listeners out there, the 10th Amendment is the power, it basically states that the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited in the states are reserved for the states. You know, it's a whole issue of federal versus state federalism and those issues. And Quinn, I don't mean to step on you. Go ahead. You can answer the question.
Well, I think Obama actually did recognize the Tea Parties in a backhanded way. He took a couple of shots at them at least one forum that I saw where he was making fun of them. And I know that his press secretary has tried to take him on and make fun of him. And you know what that means, actually, is it means that the Tea Parties have gotten under their skin. They are smart enough to recognize that this grassroots movement that you are a part of is something that could be very dangerous or damaging to their own political goals. They know that it's real, they know that people are sincere, and they know that there's serious potential there. And so I don't think Obama really wants to see the Tea Parties do well, but I think y'all are doing a good job and we'll probably keep it going.
Thank you very much.
All right, we appreciate your call. Thanks so much. All right, go ahead, Matt. It's your turn.
Hey, Quinn, I have a question. This is Matt. I've also been involved with some of those Tea Party things that Sam's talking about, but I've been doing some other things with freedom, with regard to freedom and the First Amendment rights as well. And I'm curious, you made a statement a minute ago about whether he would confirm based on experience in law and justice and being a judge and all those sorts of things. I want to get your take on what do you think about educating the people about the farmers and the writers of the Constitution and the fact that there were more farmers than there were lawyers actually involved in writing that. And then some of those farmers, of course, became lawyers later, but they became judges later, too. But originally, when the thing was penned, what about the doctors, lawyers, scientists, other professions that would be, how can we educate the people about putting those kind of people on the court, somebody with some common sense?
Wow. I am not among those who think that you have to be a lawyer to understand the Constitution. As a matter of fact, I think the idea that you have to be a lawyer to understand the Constitution is, or to understand legislation is sort of obnoxious. On the other hand, when you're talking about being expert enough in it to handle the case law that comes with it, all of the prior decisions, all of the decisions that have come down over 214 or 16 years, you do need to be a lawyer. You do need at least to have some legal training. And now that doesn't mean you have to have been a judge. It doesn't mean you should not have other experiences and other common sense to bring into it, but you really do need to have some sort of demonstrated expertise in the subject matter because you're not just dealing with common sense. You are dealing with 220 years now of case law. So anyway, I partly agree with the caller, but not entirely.
Well, that's what they have clerks for.
Well, yeah, that's true.
do the hard work, do the heavy lifting for them. Anyway, that's a very interesting thought, and we appreciate the call, Matt. Did you have a follow-up question?
No, that's pretty. I figured that might be the answer. I've studied law, but not the law of man. I studied at seminary the law that the law is based on. So it just got some basis there a little bit looking at it, and I was just wondering what his point of view on that was, because I heard that comment earlier about whether that person needed justice experience or law experience. I wanted to know his take.
All right, thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Keith. It's your turn.
Yes, thank you. Always a good show.
Thank you.
Question. I've come to believe that the Supreme Court and almost all judges should be elected by the people and with term limits. It should not coincide with our major political elections. In other words, so that the justices aren't being politically controlled by presidents and so forth, or by the elections. What do you think about that?
I haven't thought about that. Quinn, have you? That's an excellent point, Keith.
That opens a whole can of worms. I can definitely sympathize with the desire to give it to the people, to let the people choose. The only problem is that, again, you're not dealing with what are purely political issues. You really are dealing with the law. And you could so easily get a smooth-talking, able politician, like a Barack Obama, for instance, to run for Supreme Court and, you know, and sort of paper over all the differences and make himself appealing and basically be a demagogue and get elected, even if they have absolutely no real knowledge of or respect for the Constitution.
Aren't we going to get that with Jennifer Granholm? Aren't we just going to get someone who's going to look pretty sitting up there on the bench and, you know, going to be able to handle the questioning?
You might, but you shouldn't. And you know what? One reason that, you know, everybody says, well, you don't want to give all this power to unelected judges. Well, that's actually a good reason to keep them not from being elected, because you should be able to point out that these judges owe their authority to something other than a direct election of the people. The Constitution stands above the momentary passions of the people, To be able to even make the argument that they are unelected judges is one way to keep the judges in their place.
Keith,
okay.
We've got about 30 seconds left. 30 seconds. Go ahead, Keith.
Is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a living, breathing document?
No.
Okay, but there again, we've got people up there now that believe that it is. So I think there should be at least one Supreme Court justice per state elected, so 50 of them, so that we can put people back in office who are more conservative and who will get back to the strict Constitution as it should have been read.
All right, well, let's stay tuned.
Okay.
I think we're going to find out tomorrow whether it's going to be a Diane Wood, who's an outspoken supporter of abortion, a Sonia Sotomayor, who's willing to expand the constitutional rights beyond the text of the Constitution, Kathleen Sullivan, lots of other names we didn't get to talk about today. Again, we spent a lot of time talking about Quinn's prediction, and we'll check you on that, Quinn.
Well, I'm not predicting that, Granholm. I'm just saying that it could be as early as tomorrow because Granholm is visiting the White House.
All right. Well, thanks, Quinn, for your time. We appreciate it. We'll have you on again next month.
Thank you so much, Renee.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.